Chico Smoke Shop. Save up to 40% on all products with no city or state sales tax. Over 100 brands, including a walk-in humidor. Visit Chico's inside or take advantage of the drive-thru. Open 7 days a week. You'll save up to 40% every day at Chico Smoke Shop.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. As always, I'm Justin Spears. With me, my guy, partner in crime, co-host Dominic Pachaco. What's going on, Dom?
What's going on? What's happening?
Not much.
Good to be here. Another week of basketball.
Yeah. Another week.
Back at it.
Has the season been going by slow for you, or has it been progressing at a fast rate? For some reason, I think the season is going by pretty slow. I don't know what it is, but it just seems like it's kind of dragging on a little bit. And I don't know if it's because they're playing against these non-conference teams, and we're at that point of the year where they're playing, well, for instance, this week they're playing Utah Valley. I feel like once it gets into conference play, that's when it really starts to pick up. And then next thing you know, it's in March.
I was going to say it's going by pretty quick. But then, they're, 6-2? So they've only played 8 games. And that kind of makes it feel like it's been dragging on a little bit. But I think you said it. I think it's just, it's an inconsistent schedule to where they're not playing. Like Pac-12, they're going to play, every Thursday, Saturday, every week? So I think it's, once you hit the Pac-12, it's going to kind of start rolling pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And we're almost there. I mean, we're a month away from Pac-12 play. So I guess when you look at it like that, we're getting pretty close. But some big games for Arizona. They had UConn, arguably their biggest non-conference game of the year. They have Alabama coming up. They got Baylor coming up. So some big non-conference games, not necessarily juggernauts or college basketball blue bloods, but for Arizona standards, some pretty good non-conference games coming up.
Yeah, I think this game against Utah Valley, it's like Sean Miller said in his press conference today, they are an offense that can really cut you up. And they've lost 3 games in the month of October. They had a little stretch there where Utah Valley looked like they were one of the worst teams in the country. But now they've won 5 in a row, and they're coming into Tucson hungry. They want to make this a game. And if you're Arizona, you can't look at what's next. You can't look at, okay, well, we're going to go on the road again and play a Power 5 team. Well, I guess UConn really isn't a Power 5 team anymore because they're in the American Athletic Conference.
It's still UConn.
It's almost like going on the road and playing Wichita State. It was a very big game for Arizona, but now they got another one coming up here on the weekend against Alabama. But first, they got to get through Utah Valley. And like I said, Utah Valley, they won their last 5 games. I haven't done too much of a scouting report on them. I'm sure our very own Bruce Pasco, who will be with us at the end of the podcast, he joined me on ESPN Tucson earlier. We're going to get audio from that interview, and we're going to talk to Bruce. And
remember our Bruce intro last year?
Oh, man.
Every time we had Bruce on?
Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, my name is Bruce.
Hello, Bruce.
I missed that, by the way.
Yeah, we got to bring it. I don't know. You said Bruce. It made me think about it. We got to bring it back.
I gotta edit a clip so we can now, since we're more high tech now, audio sounds better. I can incorporate that audio clip and without having to hold it up to our old faithful microphone.
Yeah, the old faithful.
Like the old days.
We called it the snowball.
old faithful.
Old reliable. We've upgraded from the snowball.
Yes.
Yeah, Utah Valley's difficult to get a read on, obviously. You said it. I mean, they've won 5 straight. They lost 3 early games to Utah State, St. Mary's, and BYU. They can score in bunches. I mean, Arizona's going to have to hang with them, and they have the offense, obviously, to do it. When they're on and clicking at least. But yeah, Utah Valley has put up 90 points. I'm looking at their schedule right now. They've put up 90 points twice, 80 points, looks like 2 other times. And they got to be averaging in the high 70s, if not the low 80s every game. So, there's 3 losses. None of them look great. St. Mary's is a tournament team. I don't think BYU or Utah State were.
No.
St. Mary's is always a tournament team, though.
Yeah. consistently.
In the WCC with Gonzaga. They're one of Gonzaga's quote unquote, air quotes I'm putting up right now, toughest games of the year every year, St. Mary's is. But look, I mean, Utah Valley, I'll go back to when Sean Miller called Georgia Southern, who, by the way, Arizona beat by 30, hung 100 on them. Remember when Sean Miller last week, a couple weeks ago, called that the toughest game of the year they're going to have, including Pac-12 play? Called it one of the more difficult challenges of the season. Including, he said, of the season. Non-conference and conference.
I never thought it... I always thought it was just non-conference.
Nope, of the season.
Of the entire season. It's kind of a slap in the face of the Pac-12.
Well, that was our reaction, is I was talking to our editor, Ryan Finley, and he was like, well, it's either... I mean, it's a testament to how bad the Pac-12 is, you know, and it is. And it's a testament to how bad Arizona's schedule is. And look, they play UConn, Alabama, and Baylor. I think all three of those are more challenging games. Excuse me. Especially UConn on the road. I think all three of those are more challenging games than Georgia Southern at McHale Center was. Sean Miller just has a way of hyping up those games. I mean, maybe not calling them the most challenging games of the year, but he always kind of hypes up opponents, and rightfully so. I mean, and Justin, you touched on it. They don't want to overlook Utah Valley. I mean, it's kind of a trap game. I mean, Alabama's not anything to call home about, but it's one of their tougher games that they'll have all year, mm-hmm. including Pac-12 play. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
But fortunately for them, look at last week. Mm-hmm. They had a similar situation. You bring up Georgia Southern. Well, that weekend, they had to go and play at UConn.
Exactly.
And that is more of a game to look at mm-hmm. than at Alabama because Absolutely. It's the Hartford Center. It's UConn. Mm-hmm. UConn's more of a brand basketball name than Alabama. But, I mean, there are especially two players on roster that are from Alabama. Dylan Smith and Justin Coleman. They're looking to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Looking to put on... for their friends, family. Now, I think Justin Coleman, when we talked to him in the press conference earlier on Tuesday, he said, I'm looking forward to going home and playing, but we just need to get through this game first. And spoken like a true co-captain and spoken like a true mature leader, and that's why Sean Miller picked him as a co-captain.
Right.
But this game coming up here, like you said, it's the trap game, but at the same time, you know damn well Arizona's going to win by 30 points.
Oh, right. And that's, I mean, part of the reason why Sean Miller always has that attitude of, you know, this is the toughest game we're going to have all year. Cause right now it is. And it's all they got to worry about. I mean, I should rephrase that. It's not the toughest game they have all year, obviously.
Yeah.
But it is the next game on the schedule, and it's what they got to be focused on, especially with what they have coming up. They need to win this one before they can focus on Alabama mm-hmm. or Baylor or Pac-12, which is coming up in a month.
Now, that being said, we talked about being the toughest game. Sean Miller said Georgia Southern was going to be Arizona's toughest game out of the year.
By the way, that was
not the case.
If it was, Arizona's going to the Final Four, right? They're not losing the rest of the year if that was the toughest game on the schedule.
Jeez.
Georgia Southern.
Georgia Southern's going to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, right.
If they're as good as Sean Miller makes them out to be. But we talk about being this kind of like a slap in the face to the Pac-12. I mean, you look at him and you're like, you know what, Miller? You may not be all that crazy because Oregon lost to Houston. And immediately after, they lose to Texas Southern. And ASU is now ranked in the top 25. They're ranked number 20 in the country.
Only Pac-12 team ranked now after Oregon lost.
The conference is like not flip-flop because ASU wasn't one of the worst teams in the conference last year. But was everybody saying, oh, ASU, keep an eye on them. Going into this year, you better keep an eye on them. Nobody said that.
Was it UCLA, Oregon, USC?
Those are your top three right there.
Yeah, by far and away.
And now USC has struggled against some opponents this year.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon lost to Houston and Texas Southern. UCLA has not been as advertised.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your top three teams right there. ASU, however, they got really athletic bigs. That's one thing I like about ASU, and I know a lot of these Arizona fans that are listening to this podcast are cringing right now, but ASU is actually a force to be reckoned with. I watched a game.
They're good.
They're good. And I am a big fan of Romello White, of all guys, because he's their starting center. And similar to Arizona, ASU doesn't really have a lot of size. But one thing I like about ASU is that they have size, but not in height. Romello White is built like a tight end. He's a big guy, and he's only like 6'9". So they're not tall, but they're bruisers, and their guards are the same way. You can look at that in a guy like LeGuence Dort, mm-hmm. who's the freshman who's taken the country by storm in college basketball. He's one of the best freshmen, not only in the Pac-12, but in the country. And then plus you have Remy Martin coming back, Zylan Cheatham.
I was going to say, Zylan Cheatham is on.
He won Pac-12 Player of the Week, right?
And he had to.
Yeah.
He had the against Omaha last week. I think that was
Omaha.
That was last week. It was last Wednesday. Omaha, he was an assist short of ASU's second triple-double in program history, which I find hard to believe. They have guys like James Harden who went through there. James Harden never had a triple-double. I mean, I guess it's a different player in college, obviously, but
yeah.
It was Jordan Baczynski, who was the one.
Oh my God. Was that guy?
Yep, their one triple-double was by Jordan Baczynski until Zylan Cheatham did it against Texas Southern, had 14, 13, and 10 a night after he was an assist away. So almost had two back-to-back, almost had as many in a week of games as ASU's had in program history. So if you don't think the Sun Devils are legit this year, and I say legit, meaning legit in the Pac-12, they're going to be a team that you have to beat in order to win a championship in the Pac-12 this year. And Dort is playing on another level right now.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I expect all of them to kind of come down to earth a little bit once Pac-12 play starts. But they're impressive.
They still got to play Kansas, which is a tough game.
Who almost beat Kansas this week? Was it? It wasn't UCLA. Some Pac-12 team. It was someone who wasn't that good.
Somebody wasn't that good. It was Oregon State.
I know that doesn't narrow it down. Was it Oregon State?
No. If it was Oregon State, the Big 12 is wide open.
We were watching on TV the other day. I can't remember who it is. They're playing right now, the Jayhawks. I don't want to see that game.
They were
Stanford. It was Stanford. Yeah, Stanford took them overtime. Actually had a lead late in the second half, and Stanford hit a three. I can't remember who it was. Stanford hit a three in the closing seconds. And took him to overtime, but yeah, Stanford had the lead and was up at the end. Did I say Stanford hit a three? Kansas hit a three. to send it to overtime.
But with Arizona, we talk about these other Pac-12 teams.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of already have an identity. Like ASU is rebranding themselves. They're Big Guard U. They're not Guard U anymore. They're Big Guard U. It's like, come on, man. It's like, pick something. You gotta pick something. If you're gonna brand yourself, you can't change it every single year. You know, look at Arizona. They've made up a players program and they're staying with it. But
I think that a point guard you too. But
point guard you.
They don't really advertise that though. I mean, no. I don't think they use it. They'll acknowledge it.
Like,
right. It's just kind of there.
But we talk about identity. What is Arizona's identity? And in terms of rotation and just kind of player personnel, you don't know their identity. Like, I can't tell if they're a three-point shooting team, because when they can make three-pointers, oh my goodness, they're on. But when they go on a drought, man, it really is a drought. I feel like Arizona, they're the kind of team where you would see them shoot maybe 40%+ from 3-point range of one game, and then the following game they'll shoot like 17.2.
Mm-hmm.
They did not shoot the ball well at UConn, considering the last 7 minutes of that game they did not make a single field goal, but they went 12 of 13 from the free throw line, which is my favorite stat of that entire game, because you know this, Dom. What has been kind of like Arizona's crutch over the last few years? Look at Sean Miller's best teams defensively. Like that 13-14 team when they had Aaron Gordon. That was a damn good team, but they could not make free throws. And Sean Miller said this in his press conference. He was impressed with their poise, with their confidence. And when they got into late a tight late game situation like the one against UConn, they were able to just kind of channel their inner Aaron Rodgers and just say, relax, relax. And they didn't look befuddled. They looked calm, cool, and collected. And that's what I thought.
Aaron Gordon, by the way, 42% free throw shooter at Arizona.
Yikes.
He's better, 69.5% with the Magic right now. You think Arizona would have taken that? How many more games would they have won if Aaron Gordon shot 69% with them?
It wouldn't have been Hacka Gordon.
Exactly.
I'll tell you that.
Exactly. I mean, no, you're right. I mean, I feel like there's one player on every Sean Miller team who you can hack. Caleb Tarzewski was a pretty good free throw shooter.
Yep.
Dusan came around. DeAndre Ayton wasn't half bad. Mm-hmm. Especially for his size. I think he was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, their free throw shooting was excellent down the stretch. We talk about 3-point shooting. I think they want to be a 3-point shooting team.
They do so bad.
For how many guards they have.
So bad.
I think they want to be. But this is why the UConn game, to me, for many reasons, was going to be their biggest win of the year. I'm almost tempted to say, regardless of what happens the rest of the year. And it's because, look, they shot 18% from three. They were 3 of 17 against UConn. And they won the game. So even if... And look, I'm not saying Arizona's going to go make a Final Four run, Elite Eight, even the Sweet 16, but I think if they can find their way into the tournament, be competitive in the Pac-12, you know, get into a semifinal game in the Pac-12, and maybe even win the Pac-12 like I said they would early in the year. Maybe I said that on ESPN. I said Sean Miller would be coach of the year, but I don't know if I picked Arizona to win it, but I think they're going to be close. They're going to be contending in the top four at the end of the year. Look, if they can find their way into a tournament, and even if they don't have an identity, I think their ability to grind games out like they did against UConn, if they can do that consistently, I think they have a chance to win a game in March. And again, I'm not saying they're going to go make a run. And I think them not having an identity definitely hinders that. I mean, I think they need one to be as good as they want to be. And to win multiple games in March or to win the Pac-12. I mean, they might need an identity.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important for them, you know, if they are a 3-point shooting team and they don't shoot the ball well like they did against UConn, they can still grind that game out and win. Mm-hmm. And whether that comes at the free throw line, whether it comes out of, you know, contribution off the bench, which, by the way, how good has their bench play been? 47 points in the win over Georgia Southern, another 24 against UConn. Their most bench points in a two-game stretch since at least before last year. They didn't do that in a single two-game stretch last year. So, you know, and maybe that's, I don't know if that's an identity, you know, being deep, having a lot of guys in the mix. I mean, Ryan Luther was seventh in minutes at UConn. He had 20 minutes. Ryan Luther, a guy who started five games? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Six games he started. And, you know, look, they don't have an identity. I don't think they're going to for a while. Even if it's a 3-point shooting team, I don't know if that's going to suit them well because they're so hot and cold. But if they can grind games out like we're used to seeing Arizona teams do in the past, the successful Sean Miller teams grind games out, just wear your opponent down to the point where at the end of the game, They're tired, and you know, maybe it's on defense too, because that was a staple of all those Sean Miller teams with TJ. I mean, every team, and I've said this on this podcast before, every team in the TJ McConnell era in those 2 years, you know, said, you know, dang, Arizona, they just grind you down. They wear you out. And maybe that's, you know, maybe Arizona can kind of find that later in the year.
Ryan Luther, when you bring up bench points. The most points they've scored in games have been the last two games with Ryan Luther coming off the bench. I think if you're Sean Miller, you look at a guy like Emmanuel Aycott, who doesn't really produce a lot, but if you leave him in the starting lineup and give him confidence and allow him to just kind of let the game come to him, but he's also a key role to your team because, well, he's a starter. You'd almost have to think, well, if the team is playing well and Ryan Luther is playing well coming off the bench, I know he's a graduate transfer and I'd like to have him come off the bench or off as a starter, but I kind of got to roll with the guys that I have right now. That's why I can almost see Ryan Luther coming off the bench throughout the rest of the season.
And I think it depends who you have to start in place of him. I don't think Emmanuel Aycott's the answer. He hasn't been the last two games. It's not like he's been playing lights out. I mean, he had 6 points in 28 minutes against UConn, and he contributed. He had 5 boards, and you know, he was on the floor a lot, played 28 minutes, like I said. But yeah, I mean, Ryan Luther's kind of the guy. He's kind of a wild card for this team. I mean, if he can be that sixth man, I think that's big. I think I see him more as a starter. I think, you know, as the year goes on, a Pac-12 lineup at the end of the year, I think that rotation will have Luther in the starting five. And again, I mean, that's unless someone else steps up. If Emmanuel Aycott starts playing really well, I mean, you obviously have your guys, Brandon Williams, Jeter, Brandon Randolph, Coleman, who are your four solidified starters. And, you know, maybe Dylan Smith gets hot and you go really small in your starting five and you start Dylan Smith. Well, I guess he couldn't do that because then who plays four? But you get what I'm saying. I mean, there's a lot of guys that can kind of they can kind of mix in there. And I think Ryan Luther's a starter for sure. But just the fact he's playing 20 minutes in a game in one of their biggest games of the year, it's hard to believe. I mean, Sean Miller's a lot of guys, and at the end of the year, Sean Miller's his rotations are usually pretty thin. You know, 5-6 deep. You know, but even that sixth guy is probably only getting 15, 20 minutes max,
mm-hmm.
You know, and he had eight guys play 20 minutes against UConn. So
It's going to be interesting to see the rotation and the guys that are mixed in right away. Devonair Dutrieve, who's the most intriguing Wildcat out of them all, just because I think it's simply because of his name.
Please, if you're listening to this and you are on the Devonair train, please hit us up on Twitter or Facebook or wherever, however you're listening right now. Just let us know what is so fascinating about him. Because I think he's a good ball player. I think he has a lot of spark and he's exciting to watch. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't played. He's barely played. Mm-hmm. But fans love this guy. What is it?
Maybe it's his skinny legs. Because he's got really skinny legs. Or his name. I don't know what it is, but I'm curious to see how his role forms throughout the course of the year and throughout his career at Arizona. Before we get into Bruce Pascoe's interview, a little NBA update. Lauri Markkanen returned from his sprained elbow injury. I shouldn't say pickup, but it's nice for the Bulls to have him back into the starting lineup.
Huge.
But the main thing I want to get into, Alonzo Trier, before a game the other night, believe this was at Madison Square Garden, he walked out onto the floor before his Knicks game. And there was a fan wearing an Alonzo Trier jersey and had a sign that said, "I flew 10,082 miles just to see Knicks undrafted guard Alonzo Trier." He came all the way from Indonesia just to watch Alonzo Trier play. Can you imagine that?
Alonzo Trier. This guy could come watch LeBron. You can come watch Kevin Durant, Steph Curry. He can come watch the Greek Freak. I mean, there are so many guys. He's coming to watch Alonzo Trier. I mean, good for Trier. I mean, the impact this guy has had on the Knicks in such a short amount of time as an undrafted free agent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crazy to see. I mean, someone coming all, I mean, just the impact this guy's having on the team and kids watching from around the world, from Indonesia, 10,000 miles this kid flies.
Yeah.
I told you I was doing this before we got on air here today, Justin. I was trying to see, what's 10,000 miles from Tucson?
No idea. No, is it from here to like Australia?
Yeah, you told me where's Keanu Pinder from?
Perth,
Australia is about 10,000 miles away. If you want to go to the South Pole in Antarctica, you can go there and keep going by about 2,000 miles, and you'll have 10,000 miles. Yeah, I guess it's probably still in Antarctica, right? If you go to the South Pole, then 2,000 more miles, it's got to be 2,000 miles from the coast. So
yeah.
you're probably still on ice. So. You can travel to Antarctica, 10,000 miles away. You can go to the western edge of China, which is a little more than 10,000 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Tokyo, I guess that's almost in line with Indonesia, but it's about half that distance at 5,000 miles away.
Man.
This kid went 10,000 miles.
Just to watch Alonzo Trier.
To watch Alonzo Trier. To watch Alonzo Trier.
It's amazing, man. It's amazing. Real quick, before we get Bruce Pascoe on, score prediction for Arizona's upcoming game against Utah Valley. I'm going to say Arizona 95, Utah Valley 60. It's going to be a similar game to the Georgia Southern.
Arizona 92, Utah Valley 69.
Nice score. I like it. All right. So that will do it for Dom and I's section. Let's go ahead and bring on Bruce Pascoe, who joined me earlier on ESPN Tucson.
Hello, Bruce. Can we do it manually?
Hello. My name is Bruce. Hello, Bruce. And here with us from the Arizona Daily Star is Bruce Pascoe. Bruce, thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday.
Sure, Justin. How's it going?
Always good, Bruce. So first of all, I just read your rail. I put it all together, your rail story, which is seen and heard from XL Center. And we talked about this in the press conference earlier today, but those cheeseburgers at the XL Center, man, dude, they look great. Can you tell us again why didn't you get one? Because my mouth was watering just looking at the screen.
I was tempted, but I needed something that I could bring back to my seat, and they were in a vat of, you know, like, I don't know, it wasn't all grease, but it was certainly wet and messy, and then they just basically scooped, like, steamed cheese on it, like a nacho cheese, and it's messy, and I just couldn't do it. It wasn't going to work with my computer and notes and everything else, but certainly if I was sitting there watching the game, yeah, that'd be great. And I was interested because, you know, I always walk around the concourses, especially buildings I haven't seen for a while or never, and, you know, just to see what people are doing and what the signs are, what's for sale, and there were a bunch of people lined up for this place that steamed cheeseburgers. I'd never heard of a steamed cheeseburger before, so there you go. But apparently they are pretty good. I've heard good things about them anyway.
Yeah, when I was putting together that story that's available on Tucson.com in the Wildcaster app, I looked up their Instagram page and saw how they make the burgers and saw all the different photos of it. And like I said, my mouth was watering just looking at the screen.
It was a big, and they've had food trucks, I think, that have been pretty successful over there too. But it's definitely it's literally like a central Connecticut thing. Even in that area, it doesn't go much further out of Hartford, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bruce, what was your biggest takeaway out of Arizona's win over UConn? Because they won 76-72. Brandon Randolph, while he didn't shoot well from the field, he still went 9 of 9 from the free throw line. It looked great. And then while Arizona did not make a field goal in the final 7 minutes of the game, they shot 12 of 13 from the free throw line. So when the going got tough, Arizona looked like they were poised and in control, and they were able to sneak away with a win. What did you take away out of that game on Sunday?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, there's nothing I think really that is what it sounds simple, but it really is the fact that they are – you know, they showed a little toughness here. I think they showed some heart against Iowa State in that game in Maui and coming back. And this game was just kind of, you know, toughness and hanging on and just kind of, you know, Justin Coleman said it today, just a little bit of perseverance. I mean, things were not going well. They were 3 from 17 from three. They couldn't hit a shot, like you said, in the last 7 minutes. They had 14 turnovers, I think 9 or 10 in the second half, I believe, something like that. And, you know, they could have easily just kicked this one away, and they at least had the presence of mind to go to the free throw and shoot it with some confidence. And not only that, but some guys who hadn't been in that position before. You know, Brandon Randolph, who was having an off night at the field, you know, shooting from the field, 5 of 15. You know, put it together at the line, hit 9 of 9. You know, just, you know, because a lot of times that might carry over in that situation if you're not shooting well all the way around. You're bummed out. Maybe your defense lags a little bit. You get to the line, you don't have that same confidence, but you did. And then at the very end, Brandon Williams, you know, also, you know, having a little bit of struggle from outside, stands up there, you know, with everything on the line and hits 2 free throws to put it away with 4 seconds left. And that, you know, that's not something that's easy for a true freshman, even, you know, 4 or 5 stars, whatever you are. I don't think that's easy for anybody, you know, at that point in your college career.
And Sean Miller even said today in his press conference that, you know, Chase Jeter, he was a guy was a highly ranked recruit, an All-American player. And in Sean Miller's words, he's no bum. So far through the first batch of games, Chase Jeter has looked like the leader for Arizona that we all expected him to be. What do you take away out of the small sample size that we've seen Chase Jeter?
Yeah, I think he's been as good, if not better, than expected, honestly. And that's what I was kind of asking about, just because his mindset, because here's a guy who, yes, was on top of the world, and basically as a high school player, five stars, McDonald's All-American, playing at Bishop Gorman in Vegas, you know, big powerhouse school, you know. And then he goes to Duke and basically, you know, had a lot of holes shot in his game. And you would think his confidence dragged a little bit after that 2 years where he was, you know, a minimal role player, and then suffered a back injury last season or two seasons ago to boot. And then next year, having to sit out, and not only sitting out, but having to face DeAndre Ayton every day in practice. So, you know, where's his confidence then? And then, so my question was, how has he recovered from not only the Duke years, but also, you know, last year and practice, and is he a confident guy? And it does appear, you know, that a lot of that has carried over. It's sort of like he's getting a lot of that back. Plus, he's obviously a lot more mature at this point, been through a lot. He's a smart guy. You know, there's no question he's got better perspective and everything. But, you know, and his performance is showing that. But I am just kind of curious about what's in his head, and it does seem like so far, you know, it's a really good answer there for him.
Mm-hmm. Who would you say is the leader of this team so far, or is this mostly just a group that is all on the same page, trying to strive for the same goal?
Well, there's some of that. I mean, they certainly seem like they're together, and you know, Miller constantly talks about what a great group of guys they are. He said that again today. You know, more so than X knows, he tends to gravitate towards that. And I think, you know, and he doesn't always say that. And I think that's a reflection of they don't have as many problems with individual egos and agendas and maybe even people around the players, which causes problems behind the scenes that we don't even see. You know, maybe, you know, everyone's, I'm sure there's some complaints here or there, but it seems like this team is more together, at least so far. And that's probably obviously something that's going to help them get the most out of this team. And Miller's starting to say things like he said today that, you know, we showed in this game and the way we handled it that we're capable of, you know, playing some really great basketball this season. That's what he said. And that's not something he said before. I think, you know, he's a guy who also said when they got picked fourth in the Pac-12, he thought that was too high. And you know, he wasn't sure. He said, and then he qualified a couple of statements by, you know, and he'd say this team wants to prove that they're better than people think, and we'll see. He even said that, so he was like, so now he's starting to say, I think it's almost like he's kind of believing in this team a little bit more, especially after this win and the way they carry themselves. So that's a great sign. But as far as the actual individual leadership, I mean, certainly Cheater's right up there. I think everybody respects him. He's one of the older guys on the team, and he's been everywhere in the game, and he's played in the ACC, and Luther has also had great experience. He's maybe a little quieter, more easygoing personality, I think. And then Coleman with the ball and the experience he has, and you know, Anakin having the ball in his hands, he's a natural leader there, and he seems like you know, pretty down to earth guy, and you know, I think that maybe helps set the tone a little bit for this team that they're all pretty respectful and you know, and do seem to pretty much like each other. So, again, that's a really good sign.
What are your thoughts on the Pac-12 this year? Because Oregon, they were voted by the media as the top team in the conference, and they've lost to Houston and Texas Southern. ASU, they're finally ranked into the top 25. They're ranked at number 20, but then they got to play Kansas. I just look at the landscape of the Pac-12, and I just don't think it was what we thought it would be. What do you think about the conference so far?
Yeah, well, I think, it's been a little down. I think Oregon, you know, they've been without Lewis King, and they've also had to, you know, he's had to work in a number of different players and things going on there. I think obviously it's a huge surprise, but, you know, Dane Altman's teams usually get better, and it wouldn't surprise me if they still end up winning the league. You know, or at least you know, they're going to be there. There's almost no question about that, I don't think. And then ASU is really, I mean, I think again, kind of like they were last year, a little bit of a surprise. And this team looks like it might have a little more staying power, whereas I think last year's team was maybe a little limited, you know, up front and some of the dimensions it had, and people kind of figured that out starting with the game here in early January when Arizona beat them. And then from there, it was you know, in the Pac-12, there's so much familiarity. I think everybody realized, okay, this is how we play them. And then, and you know, and maybe their confidence got knocked down at the same time. So they kind of faded. And this year, maybe there's a little more to them, and you know, they could end up, you know, being a real significant player as well. I mean, it wasn't a huge surprise because they had, you know, some pretty good guys coming back and some really good recruits and guys who had sat out there becoming eligible. So it was, you know, I thought they'd be one of the, you know, challengers in the Pac-12. In fact, it was kind of almost a toss of whether Arizona or ASU was going to be better. And it still kind of looks like they're going to be well matched when they play each other.
Again, this is Bruce Pascoe from the Arizona Daily Star. You could follow him on Twitter at Bruce Pascoe. You can catch all of his content on Tucson.com and the Wildcaster app. Arizona getting ready to take on Utah Valley on Thursday. Tip off set for 7 p.m. at McHale Center. You can watch that game on Pac-12 networks and follow all the in-game coverage on the Wildcaster app. Bruce, thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate having you.
All right, Justin. Take care.
Take care of yourself. Well, that will do it for this episode of the Wildcast podcast. Don't forget, subscribe to the pod on Apple Podcasts and make sure you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and as always, make sure you download the Wildcaster app. It's free. You don't need a subscription to the Arizona Daily Star, and you can get that on the App Store and Google Play. For Dom, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening.
Chico's Smoke Shop. Save up to 40% on all products with no city or state sales tax. Over 100 brands, including a walk-in humidor. Visit Chico's inside or take advantage of the drive-thru. Open 7 days a week. You'll save up to 40% every day at Chico's Smoke Shop.